So let's talk a little bit about the concept of kavana in mitzvos. And first I'd like to give a little bit of an overview, a little bit of what I call Torah Shebaal Peh, and then in Mirtz Hashem, Bli Neder, we'll get more into the Makoros pages that hopefully you'll have. And if you don't have it, you'll listen Baal Peh. First of all, there are a number of sugyas in Shas which record a machlokes not only between Tanoim but also between Amoraim. Does the principle of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, requiring kavana in a mitzvah, apply halacha lemaisa? This is going to engender a machlokes haposkim. How do we determine the halacha lemaisa? And it's going to be a distinction between lechatchila and bidieved. Furthermore, we want to understand whether or not the kavana must come during the mitzvah, or is it sufficient if the kavana is supplied before the yasiyas ha-mitzvah? It doesn't matter, according to that second possibility, what I'm thinking at the very moment I implement the mitzvah, but as long as there was some kavana before I did and implemented the asiyas mitzvah. We're going to have another issue as to whether or not mitzvah srichas kavana, even if we accept that halacha, that position, is a doraisa requirement or it's derabanan. We're going to have another issue as to whether mitzvah srichas kavana applies to mitzvos doraisa and to mitzvahs derabbanan on the same level. We're going to see a whole group of poskim who maintain that in regard to a mitzvah derabbanan, mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, we can be more, in a sense, lenient. We're going to have to raise the important question, what happens if a person implemented a mitzvah and then realized, oh no, I forgot to have kavana? Does he have to go back and implement the mitzvah a second time? And if he does so, should he recite a bracha on the second time? What happens if he began a mitzvah and midway through the mitzvah he remembered that he forgot to have kavana? Can he have kavana in the middle of a mitzvah and that'll count l'mafreya and incorporate the beginning of the mitzvah? Another issue that we're going to have to address is there some fundamental difference between the kavana required in a mitzvah shel maisa as opposed to a mitzvah shel dibur, for example, kiddush or other mitzvahs of dibur that don't require a maisa? Does kavana play a more fundamental role in regard to those mitzvahs? Then we have another question: what happens if a person, according to the Man D'Omar that paskins mitzvah srichas kavana, a person did a mitzvah and he failed to have kavana? Is that called a bittul mitzvah asay? A man sits in the sukkah and he doesn't have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. Is that considered as if he ate outside the sukkah? And finally, we're going to have to discuss a big chiddush of the Chai Adam. He wants to come to defend, to be melamed zchus on those who do mitzvahs without kavana. And he wants to suggest a new definition called Maisav, Mitoch Maisav, Nikar Kavanosav. That even though he did not have Kavana, nevertheless it's considered Kavana. Why? Because otherwise, why is he involved in these actions? A man is standing in Tefillah, he's reciting Kriyat Shema, he's declaring the oneness of God, the greatness of God, the unity of God, etc., etc., and he doesn't have kavanah l'shem mitzvah, so what's he doing? I mean, he's not a psychopath. So the Chai Adam wants to say that we look at his maisim, and it might be nikar mitoch maisav that he actually is doing this for the purpose of a mitzvah.
That's pretty good. That's in the first 15 minutes. That's the first
15 minutes.
We got to the rest. Okay, go.
Now, what I... Thank you, Chayzik. Okay, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of some of the issues that have to be addressed. Now, I want to point out that there's another shiur I gave on a whole different wing, so to speak, a whole different avenue of this broad topic. And I would like you to, you know, to hear that shiur if you do have a chance. I could send you a link to the shiur on the YU site. And it's really a hashlama, in a sense. It's going to be, in a sense, the second half of the shiur that we're doing now. So let me know if you're interested. That shiur is about what's...
Send us the link, Rabbi.
What?
Send us the link. It can't hurt.
It can't hurt. You know, it's only an extra couple of bytes in your email. And in that shiur, I mean, just to whet your appetite a little bit, we study and analyze a machlokes, a very, very, how shall I say, put up your dukes machlokes, the no deb Yehuda goes ballistic against the minhag to recite l'shem yichud before a mitzvah.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen the tshuvas of the no deb Yehuda inside, word for word. It'll send a shudder up your spine. In that shiur, I actually read parts of the no deb Yehuda and his Talmud, and the relationship between, you know, in the mind of the No Deb Yehuda, the relationship between Shabtai Tzvi and the Hasidic movement. Okay, so I don't want to say any more, because then I'll give away the whole Shia. But if you get a chance, you'll be able to listen to that. All right. Without further ado, if you turn to the first page of your Yomar Makomos, what you'll see is two famous, world-famous sugyas about mitzvot srichas kavana, pages 1 and 2. The first sugya is a gigantic sugya in the third perek of Rosh Hashanah, and that has to do, of course, with the mitzvah of shofar. And the second is a famous sugya in Psachim, in the 10th perek of Psachim, regarding the mitzvah of achilas morah. Now, with regard to the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara starts by telling us, Shalchu li'avua de Shmuel, they sent a halacha to the father of Shmuel, kafu v'yachol matzah yotza, that if they force him to eat matzah on the night of Pesach, he fulfills the mitzvah. And Rava says, also meres, this teaches us, hatokel l'shir yotza, if a person blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah for the sake of enjoying the music, yatza, he fulfills his mitzvah. And the Gemara concludes, Alma, what we see from this is that mitzvos einam tzrichos kavana, that mitzvos do not need kavana. Therefore, again, the two nafkaminis, you ate matzah without kavana l'shem mitzvah, you blew shofar without kavana l'shem mitzvah, is therefore mitzvos einam tzrichos kavana. And if we were to close shop here, everything in our life would be very simple.
Very good.
Very good. You wouldn't need the next 15 minutes of my shia, because we don't...
I think I can leave now. Is that rude enough? That's good.
Right. And you might want to leave now, right? But the problem is that the Gemara doesn't leave now. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera told his shamish to blow shofar on his behalf, v'ichaven, and have kavana. Rashi says, techaven litkoa bishmi lahotzieni yedei chovasi. And if we translate the words of Rashi literally, Rabbi Zera told his shamish, please have in mind to blow on my behalf, so that I can fulfill my obligation of the mitzvah of shofar. And therefore the Gemara says that obviously, according to Rabbi Zera, the conclusion is mitzvos tzrichos kavana. So on the one hand, you have the sheet of Rava, mitzvos einam tzrichos kavana. On the other hand, you have the sheet of Rabbi Zera, that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Now that's as far as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is concerned. Now let's fast forward to the sugya in Arvei Pesachim, and there the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Yossi, mitzvos, tzrichos, kavana. And that has to do with the case of Marar, where he didn't have a yerek for the first tibul, right? You know that we eat yerokos twice on the night of Pesach. So if he didn't have any vegetables on the night of Pesach for the first tibul, the only thing he had was Marar. So that's in fact exactly what he has to do. He's got to eat Marar as the first yerek. And the Gemara wants to know, if that be the case, when he gets to Marar later on in the Seder, can he make a bracha on the Marar? Was he Yotze already his mitzvah Marar because he already ate a kezayis of Marar earlier before this? And the Gemara wants to say it all depends on mitzvah strichas kavana or ain't strichas kavana. According to Rabbi Yossi, mitzvah strichas kavana, and since he didn't have kavana in the first tibul of Yerek, because he only used the Marar kedesh yishalu atinokos, therefore he can go ahead and make a bracha on the Achilas Marar, because Marar requires Kavon. Okay, how do we paskin? All these swords are sharpened here. We've got Avuah D'Shmuel and Rav on one end. We got Reb Zeira and Reb Yossi on the other hand. How do we paskin in this whole mess? So let's begin with the tour Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, and that is the Tur Orach Chaim Simon Samach, and the Tur writes Hadasnan im kiven libo yotza. Right, the Gemara, I should say, the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Brachos says that if a person is fixing a sefer Torah and he happens to be up to the parsha of Kriyat Shema, but only Achachomim could imagine such a scenario. So it's the time for Kriyat Shema. He's fixing up the Sefer Torah. He reads out loud the Kriyat Shema in order to fix up the Sefer Torah. And the Mishnah says, has he fulfilled his obligation of Kriyat Shema? The Mishnah says, im kivem libo yotza. Only if he had kavana. Says the Tur, did not derive the mistaken conclusion, first impression from that Mishnah, mitzvah sukkas kavana. There, lo she kivein likros kidei lotzeis mitzvahs kriya, sharei mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavana, ela pirish mitchila yakori lagia, vekore chaseros v'yaseros kiksivosam, ka'adam kore al pi ha-mesorvat medagde. He says that when a sofer reads the psukim of a Sefer Torah in order to fix the Sefer Torah, he doesn't read them correctly, meaning he deliberately reads them incorrectly, and he speaks out the chaseros and the aseros, and that's how he reminds himself to check the Sefer Torah. So therefore, since he didn't have kavana for Kriyat Shema, obviously he's not reading it correctly. If he would have been reading it correctly, i.e. let's say you give me a chumash, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and the Chumash is open up to Parshas Ekev, and I'm reading Kriyat Shema, and I don't have the least bit kavana for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, but I'm reading the Pesukim correctly, says the Tur, in such a case, I would be Yotze. And once again, you feel, we would want to close our books now and go home, because obviously the Tur paskins mitzvahs eim tzrichus kavana, so we don't have to hak a chaynik here. But then the Tur goes ahead and he says, ubal halochas gedolos pasak the mitzvos tzrichos kavana. But the Mahag disagrees and he holds mitzvahs tzrichos kavana. Vitzarch shiachamin lotzes. He has to have a definite kavana that what he's doing is in order to fulfill his obligation. The chayn kosav adoni avi harosh zal. And the Tur testifies to the fact that the Rush accepted the opinion of the Mahag. And apparently the final bottom line in the Tur is that he embraces the Sheet of the Mahag, namely at Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. And let's fast forward to the Tur elsewhere. And this is the Tur in Simon Tuf Kuf Peites. And there he writes, in the laws of shofar, he writes, "Shiachavein tzarch, shiachavein atokel lahotzi ashomea." And then he says explicitly, after quoting Rav Zeira that you need kavana, he says, "V'les hilchus akarava." We don't accept the sheet of Rava, the Omer HaTokel Shir. V'lonis kavin l'tkiyas mitzvah yotza, d'kaimel ha-mitzvah strichas kavana, v'chein kosav bal halachos gedolos. So that if in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, the Torah gives us room for a certain element of ambiguity. Whoa, Shalom Aleichem. Long time no see. Even though you were here, but I didn't get to see you when you were here. All right. So again, even though in Hilchas Kriyat Shema the Torah mentions initially the opinion that mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, here in Hilchas Shofar the Torah doesn't even blow the shofar. He just goes straight to the requirement of mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. At the very end of his presentation, he mentions that there were some poskim who accepted the sheet of Rava. Not my father, he says, but other poskim, amongst them the Ritz Geis and Rabbeinu Chananel, and amongst the Gaon and Rav Shrira Gaon, they all accepted the opinion of Rava that mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. Therefore, tokel l'shir yatza. However, how was it, or why was it, that Rabbi Zeira told his shamish to have kavana on my part, on my behalf, for the sake of the mitzvah shofar? He says, Rabbi Zeira didn't mean to say mitzvah tzrichas kavana. The problem is, how do you relate the tkia of the shamash to to Rav Zeira himself? You need a linkage, what we call a tziruf. That kavana is not a basic kavana for the sake of the mitzvah. Even Rav Zeira would agree that mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana tokel l'shir yatza, but rather that kavana is necessary if someone is doing a mitzvah on my behalf. He has to have in mind a kavana to be motzi me. That was the kavana that Rav Zeira insisted on. How do we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch? So this you'll see on page 3. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Kriyat Shema brings down both opinions. In Simon Samach, he says, Yesh omrim she'ein mitzvos tzrichos kavana, v'yesh omrim she'tzrichos kavana lotzeis be'asiyas osa mitzvah v'chein halach. It's those two words, v'chein halacha, that give us all of our headaches. Had the Beis Yosef quoted two shitas, you could wonder whose shita he accepts. But after he writes that Yesh Omer Shemitzvah Srichas Kavana Latzeis Me'asiyas Osa Mitzvah, and then he adds v'chein halacha, clearly he is posketing that mitzvos Srichos Kavana. And before we see the Mishnah Brura, I want to point out to you that the Ramah has nothing to say about this Mechaber, which sounds like Shtika Koda Damya. And the Mechaber is very consistent. In Hilchas Kriyat Shema, he writes that Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. And on page 4 in Hilchas Tzitzis, which is Aruch Chaim Siman Ches, Yechavein behis atfo shetzivano HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'sativ bo. And once again, it sounds like the Mechaber l'shitoso embraces the view that mitzvah tzrichas kavana. And in Hilchas Netilas Yadayim, this is very interesting. I'm afraid we're not, you know, we fall short here. He says that when you wash your hands in the morning, and also for peros and so forth and so on, you should have in mind the, you know, the kavana that's appropriate. Now, the Mechaber doesn't really specify exactly what that kavana should be, and the Mishnah Brura assumes that the kavana that he has in mind here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mafli chazdo imo, that Hashem gave him the chesed, that he woke up in the morning, or that he's eating these fruits, or these, you know, a loaf of bread, and that's the kavana of bracha. See, that's a specific kavana. In other words, according to the Mishnah Brura, even if I were to maintain that mitzvahs lo tzrichos kavana, nevertheless in brachos, there's a separate requirement of kavana. And this touches on the original question that I raised at the beginning of Ashiya. We can divide up mitzvahs into two categories. There are mitzvahs shebemaisa and mitzvahs shebedibur. Until now we were speaking about shofar and matzah and the Tilas Lulav and all the like. These are mitzvah shememaisa. Once you get into brachos or kiddush, now you shift it to the second category, namely mitzvah shebedibur. And it's very possible that even if I assume that I don't need mitzvah, I don't need kavanah mitzvahs, that means the kavanah l'shem boro, l'kayim ritzon boro. But in brachos, there's an entirely different kavanah that's required, and that is to understand what you're saying. If you are praising God, if you're sanctifying the Shabbos, if you are thanking Hashem because of all your biological needs that were tended to and taken care of, it makes no sense for you to just mumble words and call that praise, and you have no kavanah, no intention, and no clue what you're saying. Yeah, Joe?
Just with regard to that particular spot, he said for brachos, if he's going to be washing, he said, I thought I understood, he said that he said he's washing his hands for payros. There's no bracha involved.
No, he gives many, many different cases. The case of the Mishnah, again, the, let me read this. The case of the Mechaber, what should I say in Siman Dalet, is a little bit unclear. The title of Siman Dalet is Hilchas Netilas Yadayim Shakris, but nevertheless, his first paragraph in that Siman Dalet, if you happen to have a Mishnah Berurah, you can open it up. It says Yechavim Bebrachos Beferish Hamilos. Notice that although he opens up or entitles this Simon as Netilas Yadayim, his first paragraph begins with Kavana Bebrachos. And not only that, he doesn't seem to relate at all to the Kavana of Latzeis Yedei Chovaso or Lekayim Mitzvah Boro or anything of the like. He says, Yechavim Bebrachos Bepirish Hamilos. The intention that he has to have is for the meaning of the words. And it's the Mishnah Berurah who gives all these examples of someone who's making a bracha on lechem or on peros, and so forth and so on. And all these brachos, he should have in mind that hifli Hashem chazdo imo nasan los haperos alechem lehonas bem, etc., etc. Now, in the list of the Mishnah Berurah of what exactly I should have in mind, you know, it's in his description of the kavana. He also writes Yechavein libo l'shem boro, and honestly, I think the Mishnah Berurah is adding something that's not here. But perhaps the Mishnah Berurah is basing himself on what we saw already earlier in three different places that the Mechaber in Hilchas Kriyat Shema and in other places requires kavana b'mitzvos. So the Mechaber is committed to that approach, to that opinion, that mitzvah strichas kavana. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says that when you talk about kavana in brachos, you really have a twofold kavana requirement in mind. You have the general kavana of latzeis yedei chovas boro, and at the same time, there's an additional kavana that's required in brachos, and that's called pirush hamilos, to know exactly what you're blessing and how you are glorifying the name of Hashem. But what I want to go back to, because I skipped it, is the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. And in Siman Samach, the Mishnah Berurah has like tons and tons of comments here, all of which are relevant to us. So let me see if I can isolate or pinpoint at least a few of those comments. And you'll have to spend your own time going through these Mishnah Berurahs if you've never gone through them. Again, keep in mind our Chaim Simon Samach. I'm learning now the laws of Taropa, so Samach is a very easy number for me to remember. All right. So the Mishnah Berurah says the following. We are on page 3 in the Maror Mekomos.
In the Mishnah Berurah at the top.
In the Mishnah Berurah top, yeah, top left side of the page. Okay. According to the Mishnah Berurah, when the Mechaber paskins mitzvos tzrichos kavana, he is talking about a biblical obligation. We are not talking about a derabbanan. And Yechiel, if you're following me inside, this is in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Ches, which is smack in the middle of that long.
Ches, thank you. Okay,
yeah, you see it? He says, "If lo kiven lo yotze yisidei chovaso basit lo yotze min haTorah." He adds those very two important words, and those words are added based on the Rashbam in Masechta Psachim, which would be on page 2. If you remember, we saw the sugya of Marar and Mitzvah Srichas Kavan over there, and the Rashbam, which is on the left side on the top of page 2, writes that we're talking about a Da'oraisa Halacha. Okay, Klomar, this is the language of the Rashbam. Klomar Mitzvah Lahavi Min HaTorah Hol V'Nol Niskavin. Okay, so there's a mitzvah to bring the second Yerek, meaning the second time Marar, Min HaTorah, because he didn't have kavan in the first Yerek, which he did Kideshi Yishalu Hatinokos. Now, from the Mishnah Berurah's perspective, the fact that Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah is a Doraisa requirement is not just hypothetical. That's not just a conceptual breakthrough. It has tremendous implications la'alacha. He says, therefore, let's say he has a suffolk. He is in doubt as to whether or not he had Kavanah. Then if the mitzvah is Doraisa, and again, he hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah if he didn't have Kavanah, his suffik is therefore a suffik Doraisa and Sveika Lechumra. And he goes so far as to quote the Prima Gadim, who says that Nirali Delo Yevarech Oz Ala Mitzvah, that although he must repeat the mitzvah a second time, because the first time is doubtful whether he fulfilled the mitzvah, nevertheless, he leaves out the bracha, and that's the principle of, how does Rabbi Weber call it, sabal. I only heard that in Toronto. I never heard it anywhere else. Right? We call it suffik brachas lahakil. And the fact that the Mishnah Berurah feels compelled to quote the Prima Gadim, as if the Prima Gadim, you know, discovered North America, is because one could ostensibly argue that in such a case he should make a bracha, and the reason for that is that suffik d'oraisa l'chumra itself requires a mitzvah, obligates you, and that obligation is vadai. Again, it's the suffik is just the background and the reason for the obligation, but the obligation itself is a certain obligation. I'll give you a mashal amad dover dome. Have you ever heard of what's called an asham talui? So an asham talui is a carbon that one brings if he doesn't know between these two pieces of meat whether he ate the shuman, which is mutter, or he ate the chelev, which is an iser kares. He's got to bring an asham talui. Now, if he doesn't know, then he's in a suffix situation. We never bring a carbon in a suffix situation, because on the side that, let's say, he ate shuman and it was kosher and he didn't violate any sakaris, then his kachim is what we call shchitas chulin bazara, which is itself a violation that might incur a chiv karis. So there's no such thing as a carbon which is a suffix. You know, I don't know whether I should bring this carbon or not. You don't bring a carbon in a suffix situation because it's a suffix chulin lazara. So what's Hashem talui? The answer is that the suffik is mechayev the carbon, but the chiyuv carbon is b'taras vadai. So therefore, if I don't know if I fulfill the mitzvah, then the Torah itself tells me that suffik itself engenders a chiyuv mitzvah. And maybe on that I should make a bracha. But the Prima Kadim shies away from it. And then, the Mishnah Berurah says that and this is in Sifkot and Zion, Shnei Kavanos Yesh LeMitzvah. When we talk about Kavan and Mitzvahs, we're talking about a twofold, two-dimensional Kavana. Achas, number one, is Kavanas HaLev LeMitzvah Atma, V'shein is Kavana Latzesba. Da'inu Sheyichavi L'Kayimu Zeh Kasher Tziva Hashem. And this he quotes in the name of the Bach. Rabosai, I have a lot of difficulty here. What is the Mishnah Berurah saying? He has to have kavana for this mitzvah, and he has to have kavana l'shem mitzvahs boro. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is claiming that it's not enough that when I sit in sukkah, I have kavana to fulfill God's will. It's not enough that when I put on my talis, I intend to fulfill the divine command. That's not enough. I have to have a specific kavana that right now I am embarking, I am implementing the mitzvah of X, Y, or Z. And frankly speaking, how does the Bach know such a thing? I always understood that mitzvah tzrichas kavana means that if I don't have kavana, then maybe I'm implementing this for my own pleasure. Now, again, I admit that in Toronto it's hard to believe that a person would go out into a sukkah on sukkahs just for his own kef. But where I come from, in Arnof, I mean, it's beautiful out in the sukkah. So one could ostensibly say, you know, hey, let's go outside onto the porch and enjoy the sun. And now it became cloudy. Oh, you're right. Okay, but let's enjoy the sun on Sukkot, right? And so forth and so on. I'll be honest with you, Rabosai, don't publicize this, but it is so cold in the Imre Shefer Shul that I daven Shacharis in, that I put my Talis Imran cup from the beginning of davening. It keeps my ears warm. And that's not my minhag. I only cover my head for, you know, post, you know, Chatzi Kaddish and Baruch Hu. But nevertheless, you might be doing a mitzvah for any number of reasons. Therefore, kavana is a requirement. What kavana? I don't have to know any specifics. I have to know that what I'm about to embark upon is the fulfillment of Hashem's will. But the Bach and the Mishnah Berurah following suit, they're not happy with that. They're not satisfied with that. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds another point here. He says, "Mechulakim." There's a machlokas. He says, "Im chayev l'chayev l'chaven kodev shehiskil ha-mitzvah." Must he have this kavana before he embarks on the mitzvah? Latzeis bi'asiyasa osa mitzvah. Or he says, and then again he implies at least that he can have kavana at some point in the Asiyas HaMitzvah, meaning, let's say the Asiyas HaMitzvah extends over a period of time, and he says that there is an issue here amongst the poskim as to whether or not his kavana has to be supplied before he begins the mitzvah, or any at any time within the mitzvah. Now, in the Mishnah Berurah Yud, which is on the bottom right column of page 3, he accepts a very radical breakthrough that allows us a little bit of breathing room in the name of the Magen Avraham. And that is that in a mitzvah derabanan, ein tzarech kavana. You don't need kavana in a mitzvah derabanan. So that would help me in cases like Purim, Chanukah, and it's probably not going to help me for Birkas HaMazon, because Birkas HaMazon, if I ate a shear of Kedei Sviya, let's call it a Kebetza, then I'm Chayev Doraisa. It would help me for Birkas HaMazon if I only ate a Kezias, because that's not Kedei Sviya, that's a Chiyuv Birkas HaMazon Dirabon. However, yeah.
That's too bad. When we bench.
Yeah.
Who has the mind on benching? Banking Hashem. Often you don't have your mind on it. You're just right. Thinking along.
So again, according to Mishnah Berurah, if you ate enough and you don't have to eat all that much of bread, at least, then you're in the Doraisa category. And then we activate the principle of Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Now, Yechiel, you have another issue here. My mind wanders in the middle of Birkas HaMazon. I'm not sure that therefore the ball game is lost and all is sacrificed. You definitely have to have in mind that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem. That's A. B, that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. But C, do you have to concentrate on Birkas HaMazon from beginning to the end? And this comes back to our discussion in Siman Dalet, where the Mechaber formulates the requirement of having Kavanah b'mitzvahs for the Pirush HaMitzvahs. And if the Mechaber in Siman Dalet says that with regard, as we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, to Birkas Hanenim in general, how much more so with regard to Birkas HaMazon? Now, let me ask you the following question. Again, this is not very practical, but what would you say about a person who has doubts as to whether or not he fulfilled the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon, what we call Birkas HaTov HaMeitiv? The Gemara establishes that that bracha is only Dirabana, that was Takana to commemorate Haruge Beitar. And that was a much later addition to Birkas HaMazon. So that would already come under a whole different category. In any event, what I'd like to do, and this I didn't ask you to print out, there's an overview of the halachas of Mitzvah Srichas Kavana in a contemporary sefer called the Piskei Tshuvos. I'm sure you have it there in the library. It's on page 12. If you printed out the whole thing.
I'm playing with the full deck here.
So. Oh, great! So if you have page 12, on the bottom of page 12, you have something called Piskei Tshuvos, and in the Piskei Tshuvos, he has a conclusion that I thought was worthy of our attention. And he says the following.
Where are we?
We'll start from the beginning of what he calls Dalet, which is the beginning of what you have on your page on the right side.
Yeah, okay, it's right at the beginning.
Yesh omrim she'ein mitzvah srichos, yesh omrim she'tzrichos kavana lotzeis ba'asiyas osa mitzvah v'chein halacha. We paskin mitzvah srichos kavana kosam v'chaber v'chein halacha. Hagam she'tomid haklal v'divrei v'chaber she'mevi shtei deos v'upose k'dei ashniya. Why did the Mechaber have to go out of his way to add v'chein halacha? He always paskins like the second opinion. L'amdenu she'ein l'tzareif plug to zu. Ein litzarev plug to zu af lo kisvek sveka kigon shesofek lo im kivein. Let's say you have a doubt. That was the discussion that we had earlier. If you did have kavana or you didn't have kavana. Well, even if I didn't have kavana, but maybe we paskin like the man the other mitzvahs ein tzriches kavana, and that would generate a svek sveka. Therefore, the Mechaber went out of his way to add those two words, v'chein halacha, to tell you that you cannot be mitzarif a second suffix here of maybe mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. We absolutely confirm and affirm that mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. You may have a suffix. Did you have kavana? Did you not have kavana? That's only one suffix, but you cannot be mitzarif a second suffix. Now, just one second. There's just so much to do here. I'm trying to figure out what we should do in the next few minutes.
10 seconds left.
How many?
5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
As much time as you want.
What is it, Canada Day?
No, just the ocean feel.
All right, just one second. I just want to. I know there was something here that I wanted to point out before we go on. Just one second. Oh, beautiful. The Mishnah Brura, back in Hilchas Kriyas Shema Siman Samach that we began with, in the middle of a very long Se'if, which is called Sif Yud, the beginning of which we've already discussed, quotes the Chaya Adam, Rabbi Avram Danzig. And he writes the following. He says, Madimatzrichinon Lachzor Velasos HaMitzvah. He says the following. We will require a person to repeat a mitzvah if he has a doubt as to whether he had kavanah in that mitzvah. Again, we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa. Again, the bracha he'll have to omit because maybe he did have kavanah. Says the Chayodom, there is one scenario in which he can assume that he definitely had kavanah. That which the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have doubts, you have to go back and do the mitzvah again. Hainu b'makom sheish litlos shasiyosa rishona lo haisel l'shem mitzvah. There's a definite reason that points to the direction that he did not have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. Kigon. A person was learning how to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. He was exercising. What's the word I want to use?
Practicing.
Thank you. He was practicing. The man is practicing his shofar blowing. Did he have kavanah l'shem mitzvah? Did he not? Well, there's reason to assume that he might not have had kavanah because he did it for a certain purpose. Obikriyachma. He happens to be up to that parsha and he's reading Kriyat Shema. I have reason to doubt that he had kavanah. And Yechiel, I think this can comfort us because these are when the cases come up, like you talked about Birkas Hamazon before. The man is davening from a sinner and he's reciting Kriyat Shema. And all of a sudden, you know, he says to himself, wait a minute, I don't know if I had kavanah or not. A man is eating matzah on the night of Pesach. A man is blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah or shaking a lulav on Sukkot. Is afal pishalo kivein lotzeis? The chayot goes really far. Yata. Why? Share mishum zeh ose kidei lotzeis. Now, wait a second. I don't get it. The Chai Adam says what we call A and not A at the same time. He says that he didn't have kavanah, and then he says he did have kavanah. Well, take your choice. I mean, you can't have both at the same time. I'll read you his language again. He says, Afal pisha lo kivein latzeis, yata, sharehu ose zekide latzeis. Afal pisha eno mechab. So again, ask the Chayot, did I have kavanah latzeis or did I not? The answer is I did not. But nevertheless, I fulfilled my chiyuv, even though mitzvah strichas kavanah. Why? Sharei mishum zehu oseh kidei latzeis. What do you mean mishum zehu oseh kidei latzeis? He didn't have kavanah.
He had kavanah, he had kavanah to fulfill a mitzvah. He didn't have kavanah for that specific, the inherent, like all the meaning.
Wait a minute. Say it again, he had kavanah?
He had kavanah, he knew he was fulfilling a mitzvah, but he didn't have specific kavanah for Shema, exactly what Shema represents, like the actual meaning of Shema.
Well, wait a minute, Ira. You could get away with that in Shema, but again, the Chayodim is quoting shofar, he's quoting matzah, he's quoting lulav. You know, the meaning of the mitzvah, that's the other shiur that I want you to hear. That has to do with L'shem Yichud. That's not for us today. We're not talking about the meaning of the mitzvah. What I believe, and there are two ways of saying it, is that the Chai Adam is saying something very profound. Again, I may sound like Freud here, so you'll be meichel me. But I think that the human consciousness is really divided into two different parts, so to speak. There's something that I call acute awareness. You ask me, what am I thinking about? But there's something even deeper, which is called latent awareness. Now, imagine the following case. I'm having a discussion with you, and in the middle of the discussion, while I'm talking to you, it all of a sudden occurs to me that I have to take my son to his ice hockey practice, or did the Blue Jays win today, or something like that, or how cold is cold, right? Does it mean that I am, at that point, I'm not aware of the fact that I'm talking to you? I'm looking you in the face, and we're discussing something. I know who you are, we're good old buddies, but my mind drifts off in the middle of this conversation. So where am I? What am I thinking about? The answer is that the human mind is very complex. You can have your cake and eat it too. You can be thinking about the baseball game and at the same time be aware in some part of your brain that you are speaking to Plony Almoni. The same thing, I think, is with regard to the Chai Adam. Joe, you're next. Just let me finish. What the Chai Adam has in the back of his mind is the following scenario. The man is not a psycho case. He's putting on tefillin. He's shaking a lulav. Rabbanu Shalom. Why? Ask me, what am I thinking about at that moment? Enochinam. You know, we're all drifters, and I think we're all, you know, we all have learning disabilities. Let's face facts. And it's hard for us to concentrate. So at that particular moment, on one level of my acute awareness, I am not thinking, hey, this is a great opportunity to fulfill the will of God. I'm not thinking about that on a conscious level. But on a deeper level, inherent in what I'm doing, says the Chai Adam, and I'll read his language one more time, he says, Yesh, where is it? He says, Hare Mishum Ze Ose, Kidei Lotzeis. Stop him, tap him on the shoulder, and ask him, why are you doing this crazy thing? For sure, he'll wake up out of his reverie and he'll tell you, I'm doing it lotzeis. Joe?
So I'm just asking, from what the Rosh said before, that the Mishnah Berurah was saying, that the kavana has to be multiple. So this does not work according to that understanding.
Well, again, the multiple kavana, I don't know, I don't want to twist the Chai Adam's arm and assume that he accepted the Bach and the multiple kavana. But on the other hand, keep in mind, the Mishnah Berurah himself accepted multiple kavana, and now he himself is advocating in favor of the Chai Adam. He's not just quoting...
As explained to you.
Okay, just one second. I'm saying he's not quoting the Chai Adam for a lund shtickel Torah, you know, for a profound chiddush, which I think it is. But he says that, you know, that the very fact that the man is doing something, which is like, why is he doing it? The answer must be that muchach, you know, it's crystal clear to everyone. Every observer realizes and confirms the fact that he's doing it kidei lotzeis, even though he doesn't have an explicit kavana l'shem lotzeis. Now, does he have an implicit kavana on a multiple level for A plus B, fulfilling God's will, and therefore fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin, or lulav, or shofar, or whatever it might be? I think the answer to that is yes. But Rabosai, this chiddush of the Chai Adam, which is codified here in the Mishnah Berurah, tucked away in Hilchas Kriyas Vasiman Samach, Sifkatan Yud, is a secret that only you and I are privy to. Nobody knows about this. This is a mitzvah of farsim, because this changes everything that we've been saying up until this point. And therefore, I'm very happy that I was able to get it in under the wire, so to speak. Because otherwise, you're going to walk out of here thinking, you know, like, make a cheshbon in the last year, you know, how many mitzvahs do I have to repeat? And of course, 90% of the mitzvahs are gone, over Zmano, but the answer is, this Chayodom throws an entirely different light on mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Oh yes, I am doing something for a specific reason. I'm going out on my porch on Sukkot because it's beautiful in my Sukkah. That's one thing. I'm reading the Parsha of Kriyat Shema, Bizman Kriyat Shema, because that's what I'm teaching my son, that's what I'm up to. I am blowing shofar because I want to wake up my children from their sleep. I don't know what. Tokel Ashir, which I never understood exactly what that means, because as I've said a million times over, there are a lot nicer instruments than a shofar to play, but whatever it is. Says the Chayodom, that's a case where he better repeat the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. He might want to drop the bracha. I don't know. You know, I don't know if he has to drop the bracha or not. You know, that's one thing. You know, why are you eating matzah on the 15th of Nisan? Oh, you know, I love matzah. You know, come on. Like, give it a break. Who loves matzah? Well, I love matzah, but I love matzah probably because it's a mitzvah. Am I right? Why do we love matzah so much? Why is it that after Pesach, we still want to make matzah bread? Like, didn't you have enough? It's coming out of your ears. But I don't know, somehow I don't want to give up on the mitzvah of matzah. I'm so attached to it. They say about the Netziv Mivalojin, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Litvashi Yeshiva of all Litvashi Yeshivas, that he would kiss the matzah before he ate it. Go figure that one out. He must have Hasidish of blood. What I'm saying is that it's crazy to go ahead and do these actions that have absolutely no meaning except in the context of a mitzvah. And that creates an inherent kavana that's muchach in the maisa itself. It's inherent in the maisa, in the asiya. It might not be on the cognizant level of what I call acute awareness, but nevertheless, it's enough kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. And I say a grace yashikar to Rabbi Avram Danzig, not just for writing the Tefillah Zaka, which I say every Yom Kippur if I get around to it, but also for authoring the Chayodom. I would say it was worth writing the Chayodom just for this chiddush. And I'll wish you all a very successful week. I just wanted to add that we could probably find a source. I mean, this requires a lot of analysis, and you could be the jury on this. A source for the Chayodom in the Tur himself. The Tur that we began with earlier in... just 1 second, let me get the Tur out so we look at it. The Tur... In Siman, in Siman Tuf Kuf Pei Tes, quotes Rabbeinu Shmuel, and Rabbeinu Shmuel says, "The Afal Gav, the Amrinan Mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavana." Right, Rabbeinu Shmuel belongs to that school of thought, the Ritz Geis and Rabbi Nachnal, Rav Shira Gon, and so forth, that we paskin like Rava, the mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. He says, "Hani mili b'stam avol b'miskavin shelo lotzeis eino yotze." So we see that there's a distinction in halacha as far as a negative kavana vis-a-vis a neutral kavana. A neutral kavana is one thing. A negative kavana, even if you hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, is mafkia the mitzvah. And that's what you'll see in the Mishnah Berurah when he writes in the Bir Halacha, "B'miskavim b'feishal olotzeis l'kuli alma lo yotze." Now, I'm not finding all of this this second inside. I really wanted to just kind of flooded here by pages. Let's see if we can find some of this inside. He writes that im hu misasek bi'alma is glukuli avolo yatsa. And then he says, you'll see it in the Bir Aloch on the right side of page 3. He says, Ubi miskabi beferi shalolot says, is lakuli ama lo yatsa. And he doesn't quote this in the name of the tour, but rather in the name of the Beis Yosef. And that sort of calms me down because I did not find this in the tour. And therefore it makes a lot more sense that it is in the Beis Yosef. Now let's see if we can find it in the Beis Yosef, because that would really calm me down. Here it is, towards the bottom of page 3, the end of this Beis Yosef. He says, Kosar Rabbein Shmuel, the Afagav Damrina Mitzvahs Ein Tzrich Has Kavanah Hani Milu Bistam Av Miskamin Shalotzi Seni Yotze. And that is very, very close, I believe, to the breakthrough of the Chayodom, in the sense that if we have something that indicates that he's not interested in the mitzvah, like for example Tokel Shir, or perhaps the case of Tokel Islamid, in those kinds of scenarios where he has a definite interest in being motivated to do what he's doing and implement the action for a very specific goal and achievement which is not related at all to the mitzvah of Hashem. And we had some examples here. He was teaching Kriyat Shema, or he was learning Kriyat Shema, and he was practicing his shofar, things of that sort. That's already like a kavanah shelo lotzis. That's what I thought we could say. Again, I'm not coming lafuke anything else we said about the chayodim, because I think all that is correct. Now, a few points that I wanted to add before we end the shir, and let's just see. Okay. We said that in the Mishnah Berurah we need kavana, not just l'shem, ratzon Hashem, like l'kaim chovasenu v'ratzon Hashem. We also need kavana for the mitzvah atzma. The Mishnah Berurah mentions that according to one school of thought, it's b'shas asiyasa. And the question is whether or not this kavana requires that he be motzi b'svasov. And the Mishnah Berurah says that l'chatchila kuliyam lo pligi shemitzvah shi'chavin b'libo, as if to say that kavanas halev is enough, even on a l'chatchila level. There's no need to speak out your kavana, your intention. And with regard to mitzvos shebedibur, there l'chatchila certainly he should have kavana saleh for the entire meaning of the mitzvah, meaning the meaning of the words of the mitzvah. But he writes in the case of Kriyat Shema, and very similar in the case of Tefillah, that there is a minimum amount that if he understands and he has kavana for that minimum amount, he's yotzei. In the case of Kriyat Shema, pasuk rishon. In the case of tefillah, it's birchas avos. Now, the inyanim chayev lechavin kodem shiaska mitzlotzis basiyos of mitzvah mitzvah b'amuvcha lekuliyama ditzarch kavana. And the Gemara Nedarim quotes Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadik, asei dvarim l'shem polam. Vatehi yir asam osi mitzvah sanoshim imilimuda, that mitzvah strichas kavana, and if he doesn't have kavana, he has to repeat the mitzvah. And he has here mitzvah tzitzis tefillin v'sukkah shonos mikol shar mitzvah shiyotzei Adam yidei chovaso afim eino mechavim badover ki im she'oseh ha-mitzvah l'shem Hashem she'tzivah la'soso. B'kach shebechdei l'kaimis ha-mitzvah shleimus yichan v'tzitzlaman tizkru tefillin l'manti Hashem Torah sepin sukkah saman yedu doros seichem. So this is a famous chiddush of the Bach, that there are three mitzvahs that, although in other mitzvahs, with the exception of these three, all you have to have is kavana, lotzeis yidei chovas ha-mitzvah, additional kavanas are not required. So if you're oseh ha-mitzvah shem Hashem shetzivol la'asos, so that's sufficient. In these three cases of tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah, where the Torah tells you exactly why the goal of the mitzvah, and in the case of tzitzis, for example, aman tizkru, you have to remember all the mitzvahs. In the case of tefillin, aman tia Torah Hashem b'ficha, in the case of sukkah, aman yedu doros seichem, the Bach is mechadish that those mitzvahs require kavana without question. You don't even have to doubt it or study it or investigate it. Now, we mentioned earlier the Piskei Tshuvas, and if you look at Oz Dalet, he writes, L'achashekvar kiven kavanas ha-mitzvah lefaneha. If you had the right kavana before you began the mitzvah, shuv ein zokuk midina lecham v'chol hemshech kivim ha-mitzvah klu. Now, it's not clear what he means by lefaneha, but I would interpret it as I did before. Lefaneha means before, priority in sequence. That he had kavana l'shem mitzvah before he began the mitzvah. And the chiddush here is that once having set that kavana in stone before he started the mitzvah, according to the strict letter of the law, he doesn't have to have a continuous kavana during the entire mitzvah, the implementation of the mitzvah. So for example, he puts on his talis, and before doing so he has kavana l'shem mitzvah talis. Same thing in tefillin, he doesn't need to have kavana for the entire extended period of time which he's wearing the talis, wearing the tefillin. Now what happens b'dieved if he didn't have kavana before he started the mitzvah? And the answer is kol zman shadayin osek b'mitzvah shaper domi l'chavin aval yachar gmar mitzvah ein mo'ilis kavanoso l'mafreya. So according to Piskei Tshuvas, if he didn't have kavana at the beginning of the mitzvah, or shall we say before you embarked on the mitzvah, you can have kavana as long as you're involved in the mitzvah. And again, we have to really study the sources and analyze this psak of the Piskei Tshuvas, why it is so. With regard to mitzvahs that are fulfilled through machshava alone, so everybody seems to agree that in such cases we do require kavanah. And I will read to you a paragraph from the Derech Pikudecha, which you can find here on the bottom of your page 4. He writes, as an introduction to mitzvah suichas kavana, he says, Yesh mitzvah shekiyumam rak b'machshav, v'gon anochi Hashem alokecha, l'dayti v'aday tzrichim kavana lotzeis yidei chovas ha-mitzvah, v'afil l'man di'or mitzvah se'ein tzrichas kavana, zeu dafka b'mitzvah atuli b'maisa, b'asiyah, So when we say that a mitzvah shemachshav requires kavana, that's a hypothetical statement. It's theoretical. It has no practical implication because we paskin mitzvah srichas kavana for all mitzvahs doraisa, even the mitzvahs that are totally b'maisa, and in terms of mitzvahs d'rabbanon, those are not mitzvahs hatlios b'machshava. Then he quotes the Beis Yosef in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel, that even if you hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, but dafka mitzvah sheyesh ben maisa, shasiyos an asiya, Asiya mikri af algav delo kive. Mashekim v'mitzvah tuyis chak b'dibur she'ein b'em asiya gmura l'kuli alma tzrichas kavana. So if you have a mitzvah that depends upon dibur, then everybody agrees you need kavana. How much more so if it's a mitzvah tzli of machshava like Anochi Hashem Elkecha? Certainly, everyone would agree that you need kavana. Lamaisa, it's only relevant in a mitzvah d'rabbana because we're going to embrace the sheet of halacha that mitzvah srichas kavana, no matter whether it's dibur, whether it's machshava, whether it's the mitzvah tzli of maisa, whatever, however you define and categorize the mitzvah. But as far as a mitzvah d'rabbanan is concerned, if you had a mitzvah d'rabbanan which is b'dibur, then according to this chiddush of the Derech Pikudecha, you would definitely require kavana. So take for example the mitzvah of Hallel. Assuming that Hallel is d'rabbanan, which is a pretty fair assumption according to almost all Rishonim, or for example, perhaps Kriyas HaMegillah, this is or Kiddush. In all these cases, even if I postulate that we're dealing with the Drabbanan, Kiddush is questionable because the Moses certainly would depend upon how much you ate, then mitzvah srichas kavana, even on a Drabbanan level perhaps, if it's a mitzvah tluya b'dibur and not b'maisa. So it could be that a mitzvah d'rabbanan that's tluya b'dibur and not b'maisa would require kavana. And that's what you'll see here in the Derech Pikudecha. What else did I want to point out to you? Just see what else was on my list over here. He writes that in the case of pigeon aben, a father who's bringing his son on the 30th day for a pigeon to the Kohen, there's no need to have kavana because he's already prepared the mitzvah when he says to the Kohen, Chafetz ani liftos es b'ni. That itself is a hochacha that he's being miskavi to the ma'aseh mitzvah, and therefore he is yotze yidei chovas kavana. Okay. The last point I wanted to make, and then we'll close, is if a person was called up for the Torah, for an aliyah to the Torah, and he grabs tzitzis and puts on the talis without having kavana for the kima mitzvah, the Bir Halacha seems to assume that since he forfeits the mitzvah, he also violates the mitzvah. Now the mitzvah tells us that you're not allowed to wear a beged without tzitzis. However, the Minchas Chinuch disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah and says, well, there are tzitzis on his beged. He's not wearing a beged without tzitzis. Meaning the Mishnah Berurah's premise is that if those tzitzis are not tzitzis shel mitzvah, meaning if now, currently, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah, then the tzitzis become tzitzis she'ena shel mitzvah. And it's as if he's wearing a beged without tzitzis, which is a violation of a bittul essay. The question would be, let's say a man sits in sukkah, or he wears tzitzis without kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah, is he considered as if he sat and ate outside the sukkah? Is he considered as if he wore a talis, which dalid confis, but without tzitzis? That's a fascinating question. How far do we go when we say that if he didn't have kavana, he's not yotze? Can we go even a step further? Not only does he forfeit the kiyum mitzvah, at the same time, he may very well incur some sort of an isur, an avera of bittul aseh. Okay, harbe yosef yimashal aman the kosef kan, but at least we accomplish whatever we can. Thank you very much.